Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and meet around your word again. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your goodness to us, Lord, for all your provision, your love and your care. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies today, for what you've done in people's lives and how you're continuously doing work in our lives and providing and looking after us, Lord, even in ways that we don't even know, Lord. We just thank you for everything that you've given us now, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I'll just add on to Sarah's testimony about talking to her brother. That really was literally answered prayer, because he calls himself a Christian, so you can seriously pray for him. He teaches, is it theology and ethics in a religion and ethics? He teaches religion and ethics in a private school down in Sydney. He's very, very intellectual. And I find it difficult talking to him, because whatever he talks about just goes, you're talking about all sorts of crazy stuff. But yeah, and actually that's when I was talking about people believing evolution and the Bible and saying, it was actually him that I was talking about this morning. I didn't say that this morning, but since that was brought up. But Sarah had prayed much and studied much. Literally, you got to study to talk to this guy. No, seriously, about evolution. So we could actually counter and know what the Bible says, how we can actually talk to him. So he was challenged, and at the end of it, it was, well, if you want to know what your father wants you to do, what would you do? You would ask him, like your father. And he goes, well, that's the same with God. If you want to know what God wants, you need to read your Bible. You need to pray. And so we really, really challenged him. And he was all of these things, just saying it's, you know, about the Bible, oh, it's a nice story, all this kind of stuff. So pray for him. So anyway, just keep that in mind. That really was a blessing. We really probably spoke to him for about 3 hours, didn't we? And everyone went to bed except for us, and God just worked it out that we could sit and talk to him. And that was a really good blessing. And just pray that the Lord will work in his heart. So we already opened in prayer. If you've got it open to Jonah, before we go there, just so you know, Jonah is true. It's history. It's fact. Even Jesus refers to the book of Jonah in, I think it's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, 41. He says, the people say, give us a sign. And Jesus says, you're not going to get a sign except for the sign of Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So will the Son of Man be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. Even Jesus refers to Jonah as history. So let's have a look at Jonah, and we'll go through it. I'm thinking we'll read through the whole of the first chapter. It's not very long. I wasn't going to read through the whole book, though I thought about it. It's only quite short. But then we'll go back and talk about Jonah and look at a few things in it. And while we're thinking about Jonah, think about, what kind of a prophet are you? We're not prophets. I know that, so don't get all tangled up there in what I said. But what kind of a Christian are you when God tells you to do something? Okay, and how God deals with you when he does. Let's read this first chapter. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every man to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, and what is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Wow. That's a pretty crazy story, hey? Don't you love the story of Jonah? Have you ever really read it and thought about it? See, we take Jonah for granted because we know the end of the story, don't we? Oh, he got swallowed by a fish. It's a lovely Sunday school picture of there's Jonah kneeling in a rib cage of a fish with an anchor and a candle in there, and he's smiling with a jellyfish or something like that. But that's a really bad picture. Sunday school pictures, you got to be careful with them, don't you? But let's look at this. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. God has seen Nineveh. He knows what Nineveh is like. And Nineveh is a really long way away from Jerusalem. I don't know exactly where Jonah was at this point in time, but from Jerusalem, it's probably about 1,000 Ks, roughly. About 1,000 Ks in a straight line from Jerusalem to Nineveh. That way, if you're looking at me, if you look at a map, it's heaps far away, about 1,000 kilometers away, and there's a great wicked city. And God chose Jonah for this job. He said, all right, there's Nineveh, it's a wicked city, I'm going to send Jonah, he's the right man for the job, and I'm going to send him to Nineveh to go and talk to these people. There's a great big city, and it's full of wickedness, and go up. And look at verse 3, here's the first command. God's command that he gives him, it's very clear, it's very straightforward, very concise, no ifs, buts, or maybes. If you're not sure about it, there's something wrong. Go to Nineveh and cry against that city because they're wicked. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. From, he's running away from God. Can you run away from God? There's a promise, isn't there, that you can never get away from God. It's a promise, it's comforting, and it's also slightly disturbing for unsaved people or for Christians that are living in sin. It's disturbing to think that you can't get away from God. And so here's Jonah, he's going, whoa, I don't want to go to Nineveh, I'm going to go somewhere else, I'll go to Tarshish. Now apparently Tarshish was on there, they actually don't really know exactly where it was, but it wasn't too close to Nineveh. And you can't catch a boat to Nineveh, it's a really, you'd be carrying that boat a long way, 1,000 kilometres across land. And so I think they said, I've read some things, and they say it might have been England. So you're thinking you're crossing the Mediterranean to get out, or somewhere out over there, a long way in the opposite direction, and he is running for it. Who has ran from something that God has told you to do? Well, we all have, haven't we? I have. I know I have. I'm not going to tell you what it was. Don't you tell me what you've done either. But we do it. And we run away from the Lord, and God has something for us to do. Sometimes we pray for opportunities to speak to someone, and then he gives us an opportunity, and then we go, oh, yeah. Yeah, we've done that lots of times, haven't we? And so Jonah takes off, but look what it says. It says it twice in this verse. It says, from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. He knows he's with God. God has spoken to him. He said, Jonah, this is what I want you to do. Now you go and do it. And Jonah goes, no way. Maybe he said, yes, Lord, and then finished praying, got up off his knees and went, phew, and took off like sometimes we do. But he said, no way, and he took off and was out of there. And God said, no way. Who wants to end up in the belly of a fish? I've thought about that heaps of times. Now, we're probably not literally going to end up in the belly of a fish, but God will do something to get us back, doesn't he? And that's where we know the end of the story, and Jonah didn't. Jonah didn't know the end of the story. And you know what happens? Imagine being in a boat. Who's been in a boat in a storm? Cam has. I love his story. Maybe he's going to get up and tell us again tonight. We've got the pulpit down here for you. I can translate it into pidgin if you want. No? Okay. Was it? You weren't scared. He was a little kid. But imagine how scary that would be. Do you know when I get scared? I get scared when the people I'm with who are experienced, when they get scared. Don't you reckon? I don't know much about boats. I'm not too comfortable in boats. But if I was with pro sailors and they're loving it, then I'm going to be loving it. And if they're scared, then I'm going to be really scared, because I was probably already scared when they were loving it. And now they're scared and they're chucking the stuff overboard in this boat. Can you imagine doing that? That is just something else, isn't it? And they used to do it. You read about it in Paul. Paul does it when one of the times he said, we with our own hands cast the tackling out of the ship. That's the pulleys and the block and tackles and the ropes and all of this stuff that's in the ship to make it lighter. And here you've got Jonah out here and he's running away from the Lord and he's having a good old snooze down in the sides of the ship. And all these guys are panicking. They're scared. You know what I mean? Like they're the professional sailors. They've been through storms. They've been through winds. They've seen some pretty big waves. And these guys are scared. There's a big storm and the ship was like to be broken. How hard would it be to break a ship? It would be hard, wouldn't it? In Acts, when you read one of Paul's shipwrecks, it says that they ran the ship aground and the nose stuck fast into the beach where there was a creek coming down, and they got up there into the beach and it was stuck in there, and it says the back part of the ship was smashed because of the waves. You know how big those tall ships are? They're huge. Like, they're massive. We went down to Sydney last year when we were here. We went to the Maritime Museum, and there's the Endeavour, you know, Captain's Cook Endeavour. Obviously not the original, but it's rebuilt. It's exactly the same. And it's a timber ship. It's tall. It's huge. They're like as long as this building, not quite. But they're big, and they've got big masts, and they're solid, made out of timber. And even when you're sitting in the bay, it's creaking, like, making that cool creaking sound. And it was really cool. It's quite an experience. You'd really have to be my size to go in them ships. They're literally like, I'm ducking under things like this. And there was like 200 people in these ships. It was huge. And then imagine that. And it's going to break. And they're scared. Imagine when they're sinking. You can imagine like pirates and shooting cannons and stuff. But they're breaking them. But imagine a storm that's going to snap a ship. That's pretty fierce, isn't it? You know, did you see pictures when Cyclone Yasi came through and you saw all them ships and all the boats all smashed up against in Cardwell and what's that harbour down there? I've forgotten what it's called. Hinchinbrook, is that Hinchinbrook Island? Anyway, down there, do you see all them pictures, the big catamarans? Even down in Sydney, there's a big storm and the boats snapped their mooring and they're just totally demolished. Huge storm. And these sailors are afraid. The ship was going to be broken. Verse 5, the mariners were afraid and they cried unto their gods. They're like, oh, they're all pagans and they're calling on their gods because they're all scared that they're going to die. This is serious. This isn't just a little wind or a little windstorm has kicked up and yeah, we're going to get some good wind and get some good speed off this. The ship is going to smash. They're scared. They're terrified. This is unnatural. It's an unnatural thing that's going on in this storm. It's huge. It says it's tempestuous. That's a really cool word. It's hard to say, but it's a cool word. Tempestuous. It's big. There's a cyclone or something like that going on in the Mediterranean where the sailors were, and they're panicking and they're chucking the stuff off and they're looking at everyone. They're all calling on their gods and saying, oh, maybe Buddha will save us. Maybe Vishnu will save us. Maybe Muhammad will save us. Maybe Baal will save us. Maybe Dagon will save us. Not me. He's like Dagon in the Bible. Molech and Ashtaroth and all these pagan gods in the Bible times. And they're calling on their gods saying, save us, save us. And what are those things going to do? What are those false idols going to do? Can they do anything? They're not going to do anything. It's just noise and they're carrying on. And so they find Jonah and the shipmaster comes out and says, "Why are you sleeping? We're about to die. This ship is about to be broken up and you're sleeping?" You can imagine kicking the walls. "Oi, get up, you! Get up! We're going to die! Pray to your God at least. Maybe we're going to be saved." And so they cast lots, and it's like, I don't know what, they're drawing the short straw, and Jonah draws the short straw, doesn't he? Okay, and they, you reckon they're all ganging up on him? Urgh, bunch of angry seamen, can you imagine it? Urgh, growling at him, urgh, "What have you done? Why is this storm coming on us?" You can imagine it. They're fearing for their lives in a huge storm, and the wind and the waves, and they go, "What have you done?" And he goes, "Oh, I've been found out." And he says, "I ran away from God." And you know what? I love the response of these guys. And they say, "Who are you?" And he says, "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land." And the men were afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" Isn't that an interesting response from a bunch of heathens? Ever thought about that? Why? Jonah's gone, I ran away from God. I serve the Creator. I serve the God who made the sky and the dry land and the sea. And I ran away from him. They said, "Why?" What would it be? You reckon he said, because he told me to do something I didn't want to do? I don't know. I don't know what he said. And they said, "Why?" For the men knew he had done that. He told them. And they said, "What are we going to do to you?" And he says, "Cast me into the sea." Can you imagine that? Imagine being on a boat and you're chucking the stuff out of the boat and you're in a big storm. You're going up and down. And the mariners are afraid. And the guy says, "Throw me into the sea. It's my fault." And I love that they didn't want to do it. They didn't just get angry and go, "Yeah, chuck him overboard. Woohoo!" They didn't do that. They're like, "No." And they rowed harder. And they're rowing, and they're rowing, and they're trying to get it to land, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't row to land because the sea was against them in verse 13. And then they cried unto God. You reckon how many of these guys got saved by the end of this chapter? Yeah, how many of them got saved? I reckon they probably all did. They said, "This guy ran away from God, and then he says, throw me into the sea," and they wouldn't do it. And then they cry out to God and say, "All right, don't hold this innocent blood." So they throw him overboard. And what happens? Whoa, big calm. Wouldn't that be something else? Now, Jonah didn't know there was going to be a fish to swallow him. See what it says in verse 17? It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." But look at these guys. Verse 15, "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." I reckon they said, "Lord, if I get to land, I'm going to church." You know how people say things like that when they're drowning at sea? "Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you forever." You know, I reckon those guys were doing these ones. And there's Jonah in the belly of a fish. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Why have you done this? Why have you done this? What kind of a Christian am I? What kind of Christians are you? Why do we run away from what God wants us to do? That's pretty scary, isn't it? Now, I don't want to end up in the belly of a fish. I don't want to end up in a major car wreck that I didn't need to be in because I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. God knows what we're going to do. It's not like it takes God by surprise when God tells us to do something and we don't do it. It's not like it took God by surprise and God was waiting over at Nineveh and he goes, "Oh, I told Jonah to come," and God's watching over Nineveh and he goes, "Hang on a minute, where's Jonah? He hasn't come yet. Where is he?" He knew what was going on. He knew where he was. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he prepared a fish to swallow Jonah because he wanted to get Jonah's attention and he wanted to get him on the right track and he wanted him to do what he wanted him to do. See, how do we respond in these things? What would you do if you ended up in the belly of a fish? Wow, that's pretty serious, isn't it? What would you do if you ended up in hospital with one leg amputated? I'll tell you a testimony. It's a really good testimony. It's actually another testimony about Sarah's family. When Sarah's dad was, how old was he, 35, 33s, mid to early 30s, he was in a car accident driving a high-ace van or something like that, and there was a drunk driver coming towards him driving a Nissan Patrol and swerved and smashed head-on into him. And he woke up in hospital with one leg. The other leg totally shattered. He almost lost both legs. Arm was broken, shattered bones, huge damage, you know, huge. You're driving a van and you get hit. You know, vans have nothing at the front. Legs just smashed to pieces, one off. And you could get pretty bitter, couldn't you? Hadn't done the wrong thing. And you know what his response was? The Lord chastens the ones that he loves. Oh, wow. You know, that's amazing, isn't it? The Lord chastens the ones that he loves. The Lord loved Jonah. He chastened him. He said, all right, Jonah, you're going to disobey me. Well, I'm not going to rub you out just yet like you think I'm going to. And Jonah prayed. Look in verse chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. Well, imagine being in a fish's belly. Now, here's where the old Sunday school pictures are no good, because he wasn't in there with a steering wheel and an ankle and a starfish as for a friend, like the Sunday school pictures show. Let's read it down. Verse 2. And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head, about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars were about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray that I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. What a broken prayer. What a broken prayer. He's trying to run away from God. He thought, if I go to Tarshish, I'm going to get away from God. If I go and drive my car down to Sydney, I'm going to get away from God. You can't get away from God. And now he's in the belly of a fish, in the bottom of the sea. Can you imagine that? Like total darkness. He would have been like, or he wouldn't be comfortable in there. He wouldn't have been moving. Seaweed's wrapped around his head. He's in the water. He's in a fish, and fish swim like this. He would have been laying down going, ooh, forever. He says forever. 3 days and three nights squished up would seem like forever, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty distressing. And he prayed. And you know what? God heard his prayer. God heard his prayer. So here he is trying to run away from God in a boat, and now he's in the belly of a fish in the bottom of the sea, and God can hear his prayer. Say amen. You can't get away from God. You can't run away from God. And look at this. In verse 10, says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now that just sounds gross, doesn't it? Can you imagine that? Imagine you're sitting there in your boat on the Sea of Galilee. No, not Galilee. Sea of the Mediterranean. Maybe he came back to Joppa. I don't know. Maybe the Lord put him further up the coast so he had less to get to Nineveh or something. We don't know where he came back out. But imagine you're a fisherman and you're sitting there and you're mending your nets and you see some ripples moving in the water And a whale would probably have to beach itself to do that. Whales beach themselves, don't they? You see people and they panic because there's a beach whale. So imagine this whale beaching itself and then bleh. And then it like wriggles, jumps around a bit, gets itself back in the sea. And you're just like, whoa, did you see that? That whale, that fish, just got up on the sea and just vomited on the beach. I think it's worth heaps. They make perfume out of it, don't they? Imagine seeing that. And you'd be like, that's crazy. And then that mountain starts to wobble. And this guy crawls out of it. Imagine seeing that. If you saw that, what would you do? You'd be like, oh man, what happened? Seriously, that guy would have been, Jonah would have been seriously dehydrated. He would have been hungry. He would have been all bleached. I don't know, all that salt. His clothes probably started to get digested. Imagine that. And God spews him back up on a beach. Okay, Christian. Now what are you going to do? Okay, we've rejected the Lord once. What kind of a Christian are you? We've rejected the Lord once. He said something. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm asking you. Think about it. Be challenged. Are you going to obey this time? Because if you're not going to obey the second time, something worse is going to probably be a shark next time. And you won't come out whole. We don't know. And look what it says in chapter 3. And this is where it's really good. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. What's he going to do? He's going to go, nah, I'm getting in a boat and I'm going to Tarshish. I got my holiday booked. I didn't pay that fare for nothing. Do you reckon that's what he did? Is that what you'd do? But I've already paid the airfares. I've already paid. No. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey and cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He went and he did it. Now wouldn't have it been so much easier, though we wouldn't have a cool story in the Bible to learn from, if he just did it the first time? Do you reckon he goes, looks back and goes, why didn't I just go the first time? It would have been so much easier. That 3 days and three nights was the worst time of my life. Don't you reckon he said that? And then God says, hey, I'm not finished with you. I picked you for the job. Only you can do this. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Do you reckon he went, oh, really, Lord? I thought you'd tell me to go to, like, somewhere else. Italy. It'd be nice in Italy, wouldn't it? I don't know. Go to Nineveh. Ah, yes, Lord, I'm going straight away. What does he do? I don't know. It's a 1,000-kilometer journey from Jerusalem. It doesn't say how he got there, but he did. And he got there quickly. I don't think he wasted time. I don't think he tried to go by boat again. But he got there, and he got there quickly, and he preached. And he preached. And what was his message? Do you know what his message was? It was the gospel, wasn't it? Really? What do we preach? Whoa, we don't want you to perish. And Noah, Jonah goes, and he says, so he went. It's a big city, 3 days across. He walks into the middle of this big city and he cried and said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What a guy. You know, he did it. He did it. And we look at all the prophets in the Bible and we go, they're amazing. But Jonah is one guy where we actually see his faults, don't we? And then at the end he gets discouraged and just, oh Lord, kill me. You get discouraged doing God's work sometimes, but you need to go. And you need to go when God tells you, not when you feel like it, because if you wait till you feel like it, you'll never go. Who feels like doing anything? No one, never. If you wait until you feel like it, you won't go. But when God makes it happen, and when you do it His way, it'll work out. And look what happens. It's an awesome story, and we have a great revival happening in Nineveh. And we don't know much more about it other than what's in the Bible here. But the whole city repents. Praise the Lord. Even the king. some lunatic who's been swallowed by a fish. He was probably like, I got swallowed by a fish to come here and tell you this story. You need to repent. 40 days. This place is going to be destroyed. 40 days. You don't have long. 40 days and God's going to judge this place. And they responded the right way, don't they? We preach to people, we say, you need to look out because you're going to go to hell. Look out. He's preaching the same message of destruction. And they repented in sackcloth and ashes, and they fasted and they prayed and they said, whoa, who knows? Maybe this God will repent of the evil that he's going to do against us. They didn't know who God was. It's not like they had another preacher around there. They just had Jonah, and they're far, far away from the Jews, and they repented. And the king said, no one eat. And he was an extremist. He said, not even the cows can eat. Put sackcloth and ashes on your dogs and your cats, and maybe God will repent. And God sees them, and he doesn't destroy them. And we have a good God. He's a merciful God, isn't he? And Jonah obviously had something against the Ninevites, because he said, ah, this is why I didn't want to go, because I knew you wouldn't destroy them. Ah, you might as well just kill me now. Thanks, Jonah. Hey, but he went, didn't he? He went, and the people repented. He went, he preached the gospel, he preached what God wanted him to preach, and he went, and he did it. Man, we're running out of time, but this is good. We'll stop now. But think about that. What are you going to do when God tells you to do something? Are you going to reject it and run in the opposite way? Because many people do. Unsaved people do it too. Repent and get saved, and then go, I'm out of here. No way. And it ends in destruction. And God says, Christians, I've got something for you to do. Go and do it. And we respond just like an unsaved person and say, ha, no way. Take off in the same direction. And then because we're God's children and because God loves us, he then chastens us. And it says to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, I tell my kids that. It would have been better for you not to hit your brother. Now you have to turn around and say sorry. Hey, sorry doesn't make it better. It would have been easier if you just didn't do it in the first place. And just go. Just obey the Lord. Do what he says and do what he does before something happens. And God chastens the ones that he loves. And if we reject that chastening, what will happen next? What will happen next? What if Jonah then decided not to go to Nineveh? I reckon, we don't know, we can't say. We can guess, and maybe we could say that God would have rubbed him out and asked somebody else to go. We don't know. What will God do? What will God do when we don't obey him? What kind of a Christians are we? Are we like Jonah? Or should we just learn the first time? Do it the first time. When God says, do it. Thus saith the Lord. You know, let's have a look at thus saith the Lord that is majorly overlooked. Go to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Jonah went and preached the gospel in Nineveh. We need to go and preach the gospel in Australia and where we are. And did you know that God commands people to repent? Did you know that repent is a command? Oh, I didn't know that was a commandment. I thought only they were the commandments. We should, thou shalt repent. We should. Look at this verse, verse 30. It says, the last half, it says, at times of his ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What are you going to do with that? What is it when you disobey God's commands? So you disobey God's command and you don't repent. I'm talking to unsaved people now. You disobey God's command and you don't repent and you don't accept the Lord as your Savior and you keep living in your sin and living for yourself, which will lead to destruction, just like Nineveh would have been totally destroyed if they didn't repent. And it says here, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Whoa. Hey, that's big, isn't it? We need to repent. Kids, we need to repent. You need to repent. Sitting in church isn't enough. Hearing the gospel isn't enough. You know, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter in. We need to repent. We need to trust in the Lord. And as Christians, we need to go. We need to tell people because they're dying. And they're dying and going to hell fast. And it's sad. And you worry about that, and you worry about people, and you worry about your loved ones. And I'm sure glad someone witnessed to me and prayed for me. So I would, we need to go and do the same for others. Go out and tell that gospel that Jesus told us. He said, go. He said, let your light shine. He said, be salty. He said, preach the gospel. Tell people. Tell people the bad news. The bad news is hell and destruction, but the good news, you don't have to go there. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be destroyed. Many people are on the broad road which goes to destruction. Don't go with everybody else. Everyone else is doing it. It'll be all right. No, everyone's going to destruction. Don't go with them. Go on the little road. There's only a few people. Look at us. There's only a few of us here. The Tablelands population is pretty big. Not saying that we're the only Christians, but there's not many here, is there? There's only a few people on the broad road which leads to life. Get on the broad road. Get on the right track. Do what God wants us to do. Repent. Amen? Little road. Big road? Narrow. Big. You know what I'm talking about. It was a long drive. Amen? Let's not be like Jonah, but let's do it when God tells us to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for these messages that we have in your word. We thank you for the book of Jonah, that we can learn from it, that it isn't just some story that's made up, but it's historical fact, that you used this man to do a great work, Lord. We thank you. Help us to learn from it, Lord. Help us to give our lives to you. Pray for it, that you watch over us throughout this week, Lord. We do pray for Pastor Buddy as he travels in America as well and preaches there. Pray for Glennis too with her rehab and coming up to Mareeba, Lord. We just commit all of these things to you. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.